Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode whatever the hell of whatever show this is. First things first, just got done earlier recording a podcast with the folks at Cognitive Dissonance. It's a fantastic podcast. I wonder if maybe some of my listeners already knew about it before I did. These guys said they wanted to do to have me on the show, and I said I didn't know who the hell they were, and get out of my house. No, I just I looked them up, and their podcast is really funny, great guys. So I caught up on it a little bit, and I loved it. So I went on their show, and it was fun. And I really appreciate them having me on and giving me the chance to try to reach more listeners. And so any of you who haven't checked out their show, it's really funny. It's like... it's a good concept. They just, they sort of, there's sort of no rules really. They just kind of, you know, it's explicit, I guess would be the word. cause I try to keep this one not explicit actually for some reason. I don't remember why, but since I started that way, I kind of feel like finishing that way. But theirs is definitely explicit, but it's funny. They look at news items related to, mainly related to religion. I'm pretty sure, almost exclusively, and then they have sometimes interviews on people from other podcasts like me, and yeah, it was great. So check them out, and my episode, I believe, is coming out next. I thought they might have a backlog or something, but they don't. It's coming right out. So they said that should be in the next few days. I'm very excited about that. I hope it turns out okay. And then the other thing, as I announced last time, I have a YouTube channel and a Facebook page now. And if you go to thomasinthebible.com, there are links to both of them to the right. Or if you're incapable of doing that for some reason, you can go on facebook.com/TandTheB. If you can't do either of those things, you're probably not trying very hard and probably don't want to help me out anyway. So there's that. And then as always, I love whenever you guys write reviews or email me. Like, both of those things are great. I would say write reviews on iTunes is the priority, but the Facebook actually kind of gives a better way for people to nag me if I lag in releasing episodes. So definitely jump on that. And all right, after all that boring stuff, let's get to the reading. This is a great reading today. It has Samson and Delilah, which is really funny because I don't know how many of you are more familiar with it than I was. I remember it. I vaguely remember the story. I think I might have seen one of those old movies of it. I don't know which one. Maybe there's a famous one. I don't know. But when I was really little, so like I vaguely remember it, and I had some idea of the story. But when I read this, it struck me as quite a bit different than I remembered. So we'll see when we get there. It'll be funny. But until then, there's a bunch of not funny stuff. So let me get through that. No, I'm just kidding. The Bible's always funny in one way or one way, shape, or form. No, in some way, shape, or form. Judges 12. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passedst thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Wow, right out of the gates there. That seems a little harsh, you know, like, hey, you didn't invite us to the battle, we're going to burn your houses down. Give them a chance to answer first, you know, like before you, like first say, you know, you didn't invite us. Don't say, you didn't invite us, we're burning your house down. What if the next thing they were going to say is like, well, we tried to tell you, but there was an earthquake and the phone lines were out. Plus, there, all the roads were ruined and the internet wasn't working. So there was no way we could tell you. And my grandmother died. So yeah, I'm sorry we didn't tell you that we were going to battle, since everything is about you. So like, I mean, then you're going to feel like a total dick. So just give them a chance to answer first, and then you can say, whatever, I don't believe you, we're going to burn down your house. But at least, you know, I just, all in one sentence, I think is kind of, it's a little hasty. And Jephthah has too many H's in his name. Has three freaking H's. How many H's do you need in your name? Jephthah. I wonder if Jephthah is an ophthalmologist. Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. Turning right back on them. Yeah, so where were you when we needed you? And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. Couple of things. Okay, so in the interest of fairness, Jephthah didn't really give the, you know, when you make your counter accusation and then you just kill them all, like you I think you should allow some time in between for them to say, like, oh well, the internet was out and there's an earthquake and all the roads were ruined and my grandmother died. Like, give them the chance to say that. And then I guess after they say that, you just say, well, fine. I guess there's no problem here then. Both of us, neither of us could get a hold of the other. So next battle, we'll talk to each other more. The other thing is this. I love when I look in the notes and some poor bastard says, like, yeah, this verse is troublesome. It's pretty much incomprehensible. It's like, you know, meaning there's some problem with the text or the translation. And if some guy who has dedicated his life to studying this piece of S can't figure it out, then I'm not going to try. Like, I think basically what it said was, well, basically Jephthah killed them and gave some reason, but it didn't make any sense, like that nobody really understands what it means. He said, like, because they're fugitives among their other country. It's stupid. It's not worth getting into. It never comes up again. So, but let it suffice to say that there was murdering. Apologize. My mouth is a little dry right now, so I keep having to take little swigs of water. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites, which were escaped, said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, nay, then they said unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of Jordan. And there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. So 42,000. I thought it was actually 2,040, but in the notes it says 42,000. So no, that means 42,000. I love this. So this is amazing. So 42,000 people couldn't get this right, apparently. You know, because their test was they... So I guess the Ephraimites kind of ran away, but then the Israelites blocked their way, and maybe they were trying to blend in with whoever else was there, or blend in with the Israelites. So they said, like, yeah, no, I'm not an Ephraimite. And no effing way I'm an Ephraimite. And they said, well, say this word, which is Shibboleth. It's probably pronounced some stupid Shibboleth or something weird. And they would say it incorrectly. They would say Sibboleth. I just wonder, like, at what point in the 42,000, like, in the line of 42,000 people, did somebody say, like, well, gee, he said Sibboleth, and he was killed right after that. Maybe, you know, maybe I should say Shibboleth or just something else, or just fake it, or just, I mean, 42,000 people, just start saying anything. I mean, at some point in the line, you gotta be like, I'm just gonna try whatever, maybe whatever, like, sibilance. Chivalry, ciabatta, ciabatta bread, cigarette, Sigourney Weaver, like just anything, just say anything, like other than, I picture like 42,000 people just saying, oh, Sibboleth, say Shibboleth, oh, Sibboleth, like at some point, someone should have figured that out. So, yeah, and Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. And after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters. $30. Somehow he got a hold of some dollars. Whom he sent abroad and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged... So basically when you have daughters, they're worthless. And you do like a daughter exchange program. You're like, hey, I got these 30 daughters that I can't stand anymore. and just I'll trade you for 30 of your daughters that you can't stand anymore, and then I'll let my sons have Adam. Yeah, sounds good. Okay. So that great gentleman judged Israel 7 years, and then died Ibzan, and he was buried at Bethlehem. And after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel, and he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried in Aijalon in the country of Zebulun. And after him, the son of Hillel, a Pirathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts. And he judged Israel 8 years. 40 sons! That's... Wow, so somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 children. That's impressive. That's very impressive. I'm sure those were all with the same with his wife. Yeah, obviously. 80 children. She was having children from the time she was, I don't know, 13 until she was 120. So, yeah, something went wrong there. I don't think he was monogamous. I think maybe this that's not the best example for religious family values. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim, the mount of the Amalekites. So that's the end of that boring chapter. And on to the next one here. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. Okay, how many second chances... I love that. Like, how can you get one more second chance? How many chances can a people get? I like how earlier in the Bible, I don't know, 200 years ago, probably thousands of years ago in biblical time, 200 years ago in my time, when it was like Noah and everybody else, God was like, Noah's the only good one. I'm going to kill everybody. And he's just totally cool with that. But when it's his own chosen people who just apparently cannot figure it out, they're evil all the time. This is like the 60th time that they've supposedly been saved and then turned evil again. Just never ends. He has infinite patience for them. So why, again, are they the chosen people? Can someone tell me that? Is there some merit-based reason? Is there any reason, even, like that they're the chosen people and everyone else isn't? Is it possible it's only because they invented this religion? Is it possible, kids? And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not, because that's what being barren means. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, but just eat this roofie here, and then I promise you, you will most likely be pregnant tomorrow. No, that's not what he said. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child, hopefully nobody will come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. And you know what the commentators always say whenever an angel comes and doesn't tell them his name, it means it was Jesus. They love to say that every time. Oh, this means it was Jesus. Oh, this sign here points to that it was Jesus that came. It's like, that's terrible. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, but eat this roofie, and then you'll wake up sore and pregnant. For the child shall be a Nazarite to... I think God's angels are just sleazy. That's what I picture. Anyway, shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Coincidence? Always seems to come to her when her husband isn't around. And the woman made haste, and ran, and shooed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose, and went after his wife, with a stick. No, not really. And came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? He calls his wife the woman. That's awesome. And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. So, what exactly was the point of this little repetition? Is it just because women aren't trustworthy at all, so you have to make sure the man also witnesses this so that we can confirm it? Like, oh yeah, okay, it actually happened. Otherwise, she was just making it up, or what? And the angel just tells him the exact same thing that she already told him. Just push him for more pages. Just want more pages in this book. That's all it's all ever about. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not even eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, apparently had no response to that, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. I love this, that sentence, the angel did wondrously. It doesn't say what he did, just whatever he was doing was wonderful, though. It was just great. I think at this point, whoever's writing this book is like, I'm out of ideas for miracles, man. I don't even know. What could the angels do to show that he's an angel? And whoever he's with is like, just say he did wondrously, and then that's whatever, that's fine. Do you think anyone's even still reading at this point? I'm sure they all quit forever ago. This is just to kind of, like, just in case somebody accidentally opens the book to this page, like, there should be something here, but there's no way anybody's still reading this. For it came to pass, apologize, every time, happens every time. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward the heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Yeah, because that's the part that gave it away when he stopped appearing to them. Like, did he tell somebody? And they're like, do you think maybe the guy just left town? No, he was definitely an angel of the Lord because he didn't appear again. He didn't come back. Like, yeah, that. It's possibly other explanations for that. Maybe he fell down a cliff. I don't know. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shewed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. Yeah, and I just can't even begin to understand this way of thinking about God. So, like, just to give you an idea of what people back then thought of God, they give an offering to this guy, and this angel does a magic trick or something. And they say, like, shit, do you think the Lord's going to kill us now because we saw him? Like, why would he kill you for seeing him? What did you do? I love how they have no... They never stop to say, like, well, why would he do that? That would kind of make him an asshole. They just say, like, oh, crap, I hope he doesn't murder us for nothing. Like, man, I bet he might. And then the wife's like, if he was going to murder us, then he probably wouldn't have told us we're having a son. which is very clear thinking. But still, just like how, I don't know, just that's the way they look at God back then. So it's definitely not the way we look at it now. So it's not the same God. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. Samsonite. I was way off. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zora and Eshtael. I'm just going to pause to try to clear my throat and get a drink of water here. But that's the end of chapter 13. All right, well, that was an eternity for me, but it was 2 seconds for you, so probably not even 2 seconds. So I'm a little older now. I'm 50 now. And chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. I'm not sure if it's Steins. I don't care. Of the Ramsteins. Of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her to wife for me. It's possible that this child was a little spoiled, you know, like, just a little bit. I know that definitely the first time I ever saw a good-looking girl, I went home and was like, hey, mom, dad, I saw one of those women things, those possessions that people can have, and I like her, so can you do whatever you have to do and make her marry me? Just like a net or something, just whatever, just do whatever you have to do and make her marry me now, mom, dad. Also, mom, what's for dinner? Possession known as mom. What is for, like, I love how that's his first response. He goes home and is like, hey, mom, dad, can you get this woman for me? And he doesn't even ask, actually. He just says, now therefore get her for me to wife. Like, awesome. Sounds like a great guy. Great hero. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Well, to be fair, I don't think she's uncircumcised. She's probably neither circumcised nor uncircumcised, really, because I don't think they practice female circumcision. So it's not really applicable for women, but I guess whatever. And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. So he's not even, Samson doesn't even flinch at this. He's just like, old man, damn it. I could kick your ass because I have God-given strength. So go do what I say. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So it's actually the Lord's plan that he fell in love with a Philistine woman, because that way he'd have a problem with them, and then that was all part of the Lord's plan. So that's how the Lord works. The Lord doesn't work in mysterious ways. He works in kind of weird, ineffectual, circuitous ways that don't need to happen. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father and his mother what he had done. Okay, so what, was there some reason for this? Like, okay, so it just decides to let us know that on his journey, he came across a lion and just killed it, and it was easy. And that's all, and he didn't tell his parents. So, just so you know, that's what happened. Just letting you know. And he went down and talked with the woman. Not going to say her name, she's just the woman. And she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her. Just now he's taking her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Ugh. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. And came to his father and his mother. And he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Again, what? What is the, why? What is this? Why is this happening? So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. I don't know what that means. And it came to pass that when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. Interesting choice of wager there. Not just like $20. You got 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. Okay. But if you cannot declare it me, Then ye shall give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater, here's the riddle. This is, everybody listen, ready? Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. That's the worst freaking riddle I've ever heard. How do you answer that? How do you even, if someone says, hey, I have a riddle for you. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. I'd just be like, yes, true. I don't know. What are you looking? What is the question? I don't get it. It's a pretty good scheme to just get some people to agree to a wager about a riddle and then just say something just incomprehensible. Just in the wind came redness and from the ground came roundness. Like, how do you answer that? I don't know what that is. Is this a yes or no question or? And so maybe just then I was talking about like a red ball that I lost one day. Like who knows? I don't know. Why would anyone have any idea what he's talking about? This is the stupidest riddle I've ever heard. It's not a riddle. It's just a vague description of something, of some obscure things that happened to him. That's all it is. That's not, someone needs to tell Samson, that's not like how riddles work. You don't just find things that have happened to you and then describe them in really stupid ways. And then say like, yeah, answer my riddle. Like, I don't know. What does that mean? How would anyone get that? It's so stupid. I'm surprised they didn't immediately just call BS and be like, the bet is off. This is not real. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Okay. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife, I lost my spot. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hadst not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. And shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of the people. Okay, I'm just going to ignore the weird incongruencies with the time there, because it said on the seventh day she went to Samson. And then it said, like, she wept the seventh day. Why? Like, I think they just lost track of what they were doing. They're like, whatever, I don't care at this point. Once again, no one's reading this. So, but I'll just skip straight through that. And I love how... Oh. Whoops. No, sorry. Wrong note. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And he said unto, so that's apparently the answer to the riddle. Like, what? Is this Jeopardy? Why is the answer to a terrible description of something a question? But whatever. And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the note I was going to say earlier was, that's an awesome way to say if you hadn't coaxed it out of my wife, you know, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, that means talk to my wife. Awesome. Awesome. Yay, women's rights. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him again, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. So I don't even understand this. So it says he went and he slew 30 people and then gave the garments to the men who cheated on the riddle. So did he slay 30 just unrelated people, just like bystanders? That's really what it sounds like, right? Because he says he slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave changes of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. So either he killed 30 unrelated people, or I guess he just, like, put changes of garments on dead bodies or something. I don't know. It sounds like he just killed 30 people to me. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, who he had used as his friend. So for some reason, they gave his wife away. And that's the end of that chapter. So, chapter 15 here. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid and said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. I don't really know. This is getting a little confusing. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now I shall be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. What the frig is happening right now? I have no idea. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes. And really, 300 foxes. Just next thing he decided to do was, I'm just going to go catch me 300 foxes. That's, you sure? You're not exaggerating that number? No, 300. Okay. All right. Fine. Where did he house them? Like, how did he do that? Where did he find 300 freaking foxes? And he took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. So he like tied both their tails to a flaming something. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. So he's just burning down all their crops by way of foxes. 300, apparently, with burning sticks tied to them. And then he set them free. Yeah. Okay. All right. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because she had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Wow. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. So this is awesome because it sounds like, so the people went and burned his wife and his father-in-law. And at first I thought like this was revenge, you know, like, oh, we're going to get you. But if you read the wording, they actually did this to try to appease Samson. because Samson says, even though you did this, I'm still mad at you, is essentially what he says. So I guess that, you know, they were thinking like, well, he's really mad at his father-in-law. So if we burn him and his ex-wife, then maybe he'll be cool with this. But I don't know. I guess clearly Samson is capable of burning kind of whatever he wants to burn. As we've seen, all he has to do is catch another couple hundred foxes. So I guess I'm not sure how they thought they were helping him out. But I thought that was funny because at first read, I was like, oh, that was... they just did that for revenge. But no, they were trying to impress him. They're like, see, look, we burned some people for you. Like, wow, that's really nice of you. You know what? You're all right. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. No for that. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom, and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. So he's saying like, okay, so in case you weren't following, his people, the Philistines come and they want to kill Samson. His people are like going to give Samson to them. And Samson's like, no, promise me you're not going to fight me. And they said like, no, uh-oh, that's the next verse. And they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, The Philistine shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that were burnt with fire, and his hands loosed, and his bands loosed off from his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Really? 1,000 men he slew with the jawbone of an ass. I feel like the jawbone of an ass is a less efficient killing weapon than just not having one. Like, I feel like at that point with a weapon that shitty, it's like saying you killed people with, like, I don't know, a donut. Like, what do you... Just use your bare hands at that point. There's no... That's not... A jawbone is not adding anything. Maybe you, like, saw on somebody. But if you're that strong, just choke them or something. Just do... Why would... How does a jawbone help you? There's just this awkward, like... It's like a Q-tip or something. What are you going to do with that? I mean, I really wonder. But anyway, also, 1,000 men he slew. What were these men doing? 1,000. They couldn't just, some of them didn't run away. They all just waited their turn. Like, oh, I guess he's going to kill us. Like, well, there's 1,000 of us, so there's no way he could kill us in time. I'm sure we could run away. But I mean, just courtesy says that, I mean, I guess we might as well stand in line and just wait for him to kill us with a jawbone. Like, that's... Is maybe, I think there might be a little exaggeration in these stories. Yeah, just a little bit. Just the slightest bit. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. And so therefore it must be true. He said it. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramalathi. I love how... They always have to name a place after they do something in it. They can't just do something in a place and then leave. They have to name it. Whatever. I wonder if it ever happens that they just run out of names. They're like, they can't think of anything. And some guy's like, hey, Samson, you just killed 1,000 people. Holy shit. You should name this place. And he's like, oh, really? Nah, it's fine. Whatever its name is now. No, you need to name it. Okay. Plus, Samson doesn't strike me as a very creative brainy person. Like, he's kind of an idiot, he seems like. So he's like, let's call it jawbone ass jawbone the place ville. Like, what if he's just had no ideas? Oh yeah, I shall call it slay death jawbone deathy slay ville. I was like, no, you're right, Samson. Let's just leave it whatever it was. Just we'll name it. We'll just keep calling it that. It was fine. The first name was fine. And he was sore athirst. So after, naturally, you kill 1,000 people with the jawbone, you're going to be thirsty. And he called on the Lord and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? That's a question. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw. And there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he was revived. Wherefore, he called the name thereof Anachor. They had to name another place, which is Lehi unto this day. He's like, I'll call this place Jawbone Phil. And he judged Israel in the day of the Philistines 20 years. All right, the final chapter here, chapter 16, final chapter of the Bible. This is when shit goes down for Samsonite and Delilah. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Yeah, just love how there's no will in the woman. Like, they don't express any of her views. It's just like, and then he saw a whore and, you know, he just went in unto her, like, oh, that's good. Pardon me, I will just be going in unto you now. Oh, okay. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they encompassed him. I made that up. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that I don't know what that means. He escaped, I guess, by taking the doors of the gate of the city. Oh, because they locked the gate. Right, sorry. They locked the gate on him, and he's like, screw this, I'll just take the gate with me. Like, what? Like, a gate is going to stop the Samson? And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought her up her 7 green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes, as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. So she, like, she's just casually one day is like, hey, Samson, I was just wondering, like, this is not important, just to cross my mind. So, like, if someone, not me, but just someone wanted to capture you and have you be murdered, just a person, like just a hypothetical person. How would they do it? And he's like, he just tells her a lie, I guess, because he senses that she's full of crap. I don't know. He says, well, you just tie me with some vines. And she's like, ha, gotcha. And she ties him with some vines of some kind. And then, like, she calls the men that are, like, hiding in the chamber and is like, kill him. And then he just breaks the vines. Like, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Like, now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou must be bound. Mightst be bound. So my memory of this story was that it was like a great love story, and Delilah eventually somehow gets the information out of Samson. Don't want to give anything away. But I just remember her being conflicted about it, and it was some... They were really in love, but I think her people pressured her into doing it. That's how I remember it. Maybe I'm just making it better than it was. And I'm serious. I was like nothing when I saw it, like 6 or 8 or not, you know, just saw this movie. And that's how I remembered it. But like, you know, she asks him how to kill him, essentially. She essentially says like, hey, how can we kill you? And he lies. Like, obviously, like, why would you just, oh yeah, you can kill me this way. Oh, okay, you're dead. Like, what? And then she's mad at him for lying. She's like, hey, you lied to me. That's not how to kill you. Yeah, of course I lied to you. What the hell? So anyway, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man. So he tells her another answer, and Delilah does it again. And Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him in therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them off from his arms like a thread. So they do it again. They go through the same routine. I don't understand. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies again. And Samson should have said, like, yeah, I'll lie to you every time. Why would I tell you this? You're like trying to kill me, or you're trying to have them capture me. I don't understand. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. So that didn't work again. This is just mind-boggling to me. I don't understand. Why is he still with her? Like, she's made it clear that she's just interested in killing him. She's never said, like, I like you. Like, she's never... It's so weird. And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that... So she just nagged him literally, it says, to death, like... He couldn't take it anymore. That he told her his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So he tells her, why did you do that? What do you see happening after that, Samson? Like, oh, but don't tell anybody that, Delilah. Like, I know you've just totally tried to kill me 3 times, like, with people you've laid in wait. Did she pass it off as a joke the first 3 times? Also, why wouldn't he say, like, listen, Delilah, why are you so keenly aware in this? Just let it suffice that I'm very strong and you can't get me. Like, what? That's enough. It doesn't... I don't need to prove to you that I... It's just so amazing. It's so weird to me. I don't understand the story. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shewed me all his heart. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Apparently didn't notice that his head had been shaved. I think you would notice immediately. I think you would wake up and say, what the? You shaved my head, woman. Coincidentally, right after I just told you that that was the key to my power. Huh. Is he the dumbest person in the entire world? Why? I just don't. This story makes no sense. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. Now, one detail I remember in the movie is that Delilah tells them not to kill him. Says, like, don't harm him at all. Just capture him. And they, out of a technicality, they, like, plucked out his eyes or burned out his eyes in the movie because they didn't. Because she told them not to draw blood or to do anything. And so they found, like, a technicality and blinded him. But this doesn't say any of that. The Bible just says she didn't say anything. And they put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And as if he's not stupid enough... If he's not displaying enough stupidity, the Philistines decide, like, they're going to counter his stupidity with more stupidity and say, like, oh, this guy who basically is this, like, superhero that's destroying us, all you have to do is cut off his hair and then he's powerless. Anyway, let's just go ahead and neglect to pay any attention to him for a while and then his hair will grow back. Like, you don't want to maybe keep an eye on him and, like, shave him every week or something, lest he... you know, grows hair back and kill you all. So that's even stupider. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon this house standeth, and that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women. I'm sure you can see where this is going. And all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars on which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Sam said, let me die. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah's father. And he judged Israel 20 years. And that's the end. So this is amazing. That story is just so much different than I thought it would be. First of all, Samson is not a hero. He gets pissed off and kills a bunch of people. And they're like, why did you kill? First, you tell us this riddle that is not possible. And so we ask your wife about it. And they, okay, admittedly, they threatened her and said they would burn down her house or something. And he gets mad at that. But I mean, when you make up a riddle that's that stupid and unanswerable, like, yeah, how mad should you be? You should probably just be like, oh, fair enough. That was a dumb riddle. You guys cheated. We'll call it off. But no, he kills like 30 unrelated people. And that's apparently justified. And then his father-in-law gives his wife to someone else, and he kills like 1,000 more people for that. So I don't know what those people did, but he kills 1,000 of them. They weren't involved. He doesn't kill his father-in-law. He kills 1,000 people. Unrelated. So, and then he acts like they've wronged him, you know, like he's the hero and they're, what is, it's just so weird. I don't, this is the dumbest story. It is such a stupid story. And then Delilah, who never once in this text says like, oh, I love you. You're my, like, she never does anything to woo him or to like seduce him. It just says he loves her apparently. And she just asks him those 3 times. It's just so stupid. Why did he tell her his secret? What? I don't, it's so bad. Anyway, I've had enough of this. So yeah, check out the Cognitive Dissonance podcast coming out this week. Check that out and see if it's good. I definitely had a lot to say on there. I hope I wasn't too... we were on Skype, so I couldn't really hear them all the time, so I would just tend to keep talking. So I talked a ton. I hope they edit it down, or at least I hope it wasn't that as bad as I'm remembering it. Maybe it wasn't that bad, but I feel like I talked a lot. So hopefully it was okay and it worked for their show. But I had a lot to say, and hopefully it was funny, and hopefully... You know, you guys should check it out because they're funny anyway. So, so check that out. It'll be fun. And go to YouTube, go to Facebook, and I'll see you guys next time. And I should be releasing a new video very shortly. I meant to, but I got really busy. But I'm not. It's all written out. Well, I don't write much, but it's all planned. So that'll come out, and I'll have a highlights video. And I have actually another idea for a video to do that is not exactly related to strict biblical text, but it'll be funny. So yeah, so be on the lookout. And thanks, as usual, for listening. I'll see you next time.